This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Delve into the details of your movies, so to speak. But I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about the filming process for Far.
Sure.
What was it like?
Far was a... We shot that like 3.5 years ago. It was like Labor Day weekend, 2011. And Far was... it was just a marathon. It was 5 days in a row for the principal photography. And we kind of broke the two of the cardinal rules of independent filmmaking, which is you don't have a lot of locations and you don't film at night because night requires a lot of lights and locations required to move around, and we did both of those things. So we were never at the same location twice, and we did need lights at night, which is why the ending of the film takes place at a baseball diamond, because those lights were built into the location. So we were kind of able to combine a little bit and save our budget, but it was just this fun thing. When it was all done, it was really, really a lot of fun, but in the middle of it, it was a lot of work of just running around trying to make sure we got everything. And it was great because the two leads, Marion Kerr and Andre Hall, I just had a lot of really good chemistry, and they're both fun people to be around. They're fun people to watch. And that makes it really enjoyable because you can see that it's a romantic comedy. You can see their chemistry evolving. You can see the film is working. So it made the long hours really, when you're working until the sun comes up, it made it worthwhile. But it was just a race.
Absolutely. What was the inspiration behind the movie Far? I know it's a romantic comedy. It's sci-fi in genre. What inspired it?
I'll say, if anybody hasn't watched Far, go watch it right now because I'm going to spoil it for you. So, weather warning, 3, 2, 1, still here? Okay, bring it. My idea for Far was that we as individuals usually take our world for granted, that we kind of, there's all these amazing things happening that we, whether it's just a simple rainstorm or, the artwork on the side of a street corner or talking on the cell phone or going mini golfing or bowling or seeing movies, all these things are actually just insanely incredible that we've gotten to the point in our society where we can create to make these things happen and observe these things, but we take them for granted because we see them every day. We don't know that they're amazing anymore. They're just ordinary to us. And that's to point out that you need to think beyond that, you need an alien or you need an outsider to come in and tell you that these things are amazing or show that or and watch their reaction to these things that we take for granted and find they're amazing. So that was kind of the premise when Marion said who is the writer and he plays Hannah, suggested that we make a short, that I direct the short. She said I had to give her the premise, that's why I sent her my basic premise, which was guy goes on a date with an alien. And that was just because we wanted to, or honestly because I wanted to have that kind of experience of the world is full of wonder. And I knew if I wanted to direct a film, which I hadn't done in a long time, that I wanted to have kind of a message that I could get behind. And that was my, that was that initial thing at impetus for doing Far was, this is a message that I can get behind, that the world is an amazing place. We should just for granted.
Absolutely. It is an amazing place. I mean, when you think about just all the wonders of the world, and I mean, even just this life, you know, and all the things that you can accomplish if you put your mind to it, it's just amazing.
It's been incredible, and I think that message and that kind of intent for Far really ended up fueling a lot of what happened at our festival, where we ended up playing festival. Our festival is still going on. We premiered in June 2012, and I have dates booked for the end of February next year, at least 2015, so almost a 3-year festival run, 40 film festivals internationally. We won over 20 awards. I've gotten to go to Beijing, and I've gotten to go to Berlin, and we played Greece. I didn't get to go to Athens, but we did play Greece. I got a chance to see the world. It's really, boy, that's even more amazing place than I thought it was before I made the film.
Absolutely. Today, what are some of your favorite films or TV series? I know you said you're a huge fan of the original Star Wars series, and you know that's what kind of got you into filmmaking. But do you have any other favorites?
Oh, of course. Actually, if you go to my blog at briancruder.com, you can there's a list of the 15 films that had the most biggest impact on me in life. And it's funny, I'm working on my apartment, so it's really easy for me to point the posters from Moulin Rouge and Silence of the Lambs and Blade Runner, Back to the Future, all those kinds of those films, The Lion King, Indiana Jones, those films that I kind of think of those films as my core films, that where I not only took something about filmmaking, but I also have something about kind of my core value as a person, kind of comes from how those characters act and interact with each other in those films.
Absolutely. That was actually my next question, is what can our listening audience learn more about you? And you got me addressed here.
My website is filmcrew.com, filmcrew.com. I got a good last name for that, so thank you. So if you go to filmcrew.com, there's links to all my films that I've done, that you can find them. My blog, my Facebook page, my Twitter page, all those things are there, so it's really easy to find me and interact with me. And if anybody has any questions or wants to follow up or something, really easy to find. And I do have a blog at MyAnchor.com, so if you want to just go directly to that.
Okay. My next question deals with kind of the future of film. I was wondering, what are your thoughts on the state of film? Do you think movie theaters will one day become obsolete?
Yeah, it's funny. I saw that when you sent me your list of questions that I saw that night. I don't know what the future of film is after this week. Is kind of how I earn my living. Editing is what filmmaking is all about. just in the edit room. And the other thing about it is, if you have a skill like editing, you have a technical skill that you can earn a living at. Beyond, and so while you're pursuing your goals of writing or doing whatever else, you can have income from editing. It's a technical skill. You can't get paid. And also, you have something to borrow with because not everybody can do it. So if you get to a point where you need a resource from somebody else, like I've definitely gotten the situation where I need a sound mix. Well, my buddy needs a montage company called All Kinds of Montage for his film, and he'll mix my film, and we can trade. And so you have a skill that you can barter with people, and actually helps you get resources. So getting a technical skill is a really important thing.
Okay. That's some very sound advice. I think it's good to have dreams and aspirations and everything, but at the end of the day, you need something practical, and I think that's what you really stressed. You brought home was that a practical skill, something technical to help pay the bills. Now, Brian, my last couple questions deal with your movie Un Liberation, which isn't out yet, and I know some of the details are under wraps, but I was wondering, this particular film is a slight departure from some of the stuff, the work that you've done in the past. What made you gravitate towards this story, this World War II period piece story?
Well, there was two things. There was a creative need to do something different, and there was the need to tell a story about these characters, and it started with the creative need just to do a different kind of story. We'd come out of far, and everybody walked out of far in the premiere, and was like, oh my god, that was such a cute movie, it was so cute. Cute, man, I can do better than cute. I'm like, that's not boring, that's just cute. I wanted to do something that kind of showed a different side of my filmmaking, and I've always loved dramas. And my producer, Hugh O'Brien, is a stunt coordinator with 30 years of experience. He's worked with Jerry Bruckheimer on the Pirates of the Caribbean films and all this kind of experience. And I really felt like I had a resource in my partnership with him, and it was really not being put to use by just doing romantic comedy. So I wanted to do an action film. But I've seen action films at film festivals where it's just like a group of stunt guys get together and like, dude, we can like come down from the ceiling and shoot all these guns and cool stuff and roll this car, and it's like, yeah, it's great, but like, where's the story? Like, what are you doing for that? It's just like a bunch of cool action shots. Action, action, action. And so I thought it would be neat if we could find an emotional story to tell. And I knew Miriam Kerr, who's, again, acting and writing this like she did for Far, has a personal connection with World War II. Her grandparents actually met as journalists in World War II in Paris during the war. So when I went to her with this idea of doing an action film, I said, how about we do it in World War II? And she instantly said, oh, well, it's the French Resistance, and, you know, they have these underground tunnels, so you can do it on a low budget. In Los Angeles, in 2013 Los Angeles, you could recreate Paris 1944 by going underground, and that way you wanted to see the city and you wanted to get the extras and all those things that we don't have access to as independent filmmakers. And she was able to construct a really emotionally engaging story with emotionally compelling characters around my need to do the darker action film. And I think, you know, we just passed the 70th anniversary of what happened in World War II, and I don't think there's so many World War II films that there's not a lot said to talk about the intricacies of the French resistance and how complicated it was. And we're telling just a very, very, very small piece of it. But it was interesting to go to a place in World War II that I don't think a lot of people know a lot about. And it's something that's definitely interested in exploring in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've seen the film, and it's very compelling, and it leaves you wanting more. I was, which is a good thing, you know, it's just so, it just draws you in from the first shot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I was wondering if the response for this film is well, if it's good, I believe it's going to be, would you be open to doing a longer, like a feature-length cut of this film? Because it's just amazing.
You know, one of the things we did with both Far and Un Liberation is we never thought about what the feature version would be. We wanted to make sure we were keeping the integrity of the short film, so they're just short stories right now, but they're definitely preventing both films to be expanded and both could become feature films. With Un Liberation, I think for both of those films, when I've always thought would be much more interesting than a feature would be actually a TV series, especially for Un Libro Film, because you could almost do the one year of the war per season. You know, the first episode, the Nazis come into Paris, and the last episode they leave, or you can go beyond the war and somebody after them. But you really dive into the intricacies of what happens, the politics, the different camps that are going on in and around Paris and on the outskirts of how the resistance is dealing with the Vichy regime. There's so much material there and so many different kinds of characters that we could go into that's what we've actually talked the most about, is actually developing Ralphie as a TV series.
Okay. Yeah, because it's actually spellbinding, and I think, you're welcome. I think that there's definitely something there, and I believe that if, given the opportunity, you should definitely take the jump and try to see if you can continue the story, whether it be via television series or, you know, feature length film.
Thank you so much, sir. Honestly, so few people, probably around a dozen people, have seen the film at this point, so, or a little more than that, actually, but it's a very small select group of people that have seen the film, so it's very gratifying to hear people that you responded well to it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Brian, I'm actually all out of questions, but I did want to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience. I just wanted to say I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Feel free to get in touch with me. I'm always open to answering questions and hearing opinions of what people think about myself, or if they have questions about the industry in general. And please just keep going to see movies, no matter who they are, and enjoy them.
Absolutely. Guys, if you're listening to this interview, check out Brian's newest film. It's called Far. You can watch it on Hulu. It's free of charge. It's a great, great movie. Also, follow Brian on his blog. He's got some updates on his newest films as well as his film favorites. We'll put that in the note field. And if you're listening to this interview on SoundCloud, check us out on your mobile device or your smartphone. Via the Stitcher Smart Radio app. Look us up by our show name. It's Redefining the Counterculture. And you'll be able to hear this interview with Brian as well as many, many others. We also are available on iTunes. If you have iTunes, just download our podcast and subscribe. We're under the podcast section, and you can just search Witten Radio. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
No problem.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.